Well, the biggest weekend of the season is ahead, including what looks like a Premier League title decider at the Etihad. The pressure is ramping up on the leaders as Arsenal now face their nearest rivals, Manchester City, who could cut the gap to just 3 points. The race for the Champions League places is also hotting up as Chelsea and Manchester United go head-to-head at Stamford Bridge. Plus, there's also the not-so-small matter of a Merseyside derby to look forward to. We've got it all covered on this week's Assist. Welcome along to this week's Assist show, brought to you as ever in association with freesupertips.com. I'm Warren Ashurst, and this week I'm joined by James Milton and Dan Childs to run through their tips and thoughts on this weekend's action. And don't forget, of course, you can, as ever, interact with us and give us your thoughts on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And make sure you check out freesupertips.com for your daily football hackers and bet builders. Let's get straight into it then, because there's plenty to talk about in terms of this weekend's football action. None more so, of course, than the game of the weekend and arguably the game of the season on Sunday afternoon, a 4:30 start at the Etihad Stadium for Manchester City against Arsenal. As far as the prices are concerned, City 5-6 here to claim the victory. Arsenal 100-30 and the draw 27-10. Milts, we'll start with you with this one, and we'll have to start with Arsenal in terms of recent form and how things are looking now in terms of the title race. I think if the pressure was on from the supporters over the last few weeks, the pressure has now doubled considering what's happened over the last couple of weeks with Manchester City's performances.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think back to just a month ago, this fixture looked like it could be a bit low-key, didn't it? You know, City dropped points at West Ham. Arsenal were 9 points clear. But, you know, it's incredible how quickly things have turned, particularly given that there's only been a one Premier League game for each of the teams since then. Obviously, a six-point swing last weekend. And City have also, you know, beaten Arsenal in the AFL Cup final. So impressive against Liverpool in the FA Cup. And then, you know, made no mistake at Chelsea last weekend. So you can understand why the pressure is on Arsenal. You know, City have had a week off and Arsenal, you know, wasn't exactly a statement performance, was it, to seal their place in the Champions League semi-finals. 0-0 at home to Sporting. You know, just more of the same from Arsenal, really. So, yeah, the pressure is certainly on them.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke a few weeks ago, Dan, about the title race, and we did say that there was the chance that the pressure would ramp up and have an impact on Arsenal. But at that stage, probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, I don't think anybody thought City were playing well enough maybe to capitalise, but they seem to have found that gear now that they've tend to have done, of course, under Pep Guardiola previously, where they can finish the season almost unbeaten.
They have, but they've actually got into this. You could argue they got into a better position about a couple of months ago, when, if you think back to when Arsenal had draws against Brentford and Wolves, at that stage, with more of the season left to go, they were 5 points behind Arsenal with a game in hand as well. So, and then kind of lost their way, didn't they, dropping points themselves. So you could argue, from Arsenal's point of view, that you know, they've now got to this point with a six-point lead, and that they're in a... and less games to play. So they're in a better position than they were then. It's just the fact that the way it's gone recently, I think that Arsenal, as James was saying, were in such a, look like an impregnable position, and all of a sudden that one weekend has switched it round. But I think sometimes in these situations as well, it's mentally easier to chase, you, especially when you're approaching a big game, the two of you playing together, that you can kind of let the shackles off and go for it. Whereas from Arsenal's point of view, there probably feels like there's just so much more to lose.
We'll get your best bets in a moment, guys. But Milts, looking at Arsenal and from an attacking point of view recently, that would be the main concern for me. Is that something which worries you going into this game?
Yeah, absolutely. Because we've mentioned all season long, Arsenal did brilliantly kind of winning these tight games. And, you know, the defence was outstanding first half of the season. The problem is, as players get tired and there are injuries and, you know, you have to reshuffle the defence, then, you know, there are going to be times when you concede and then suddenly you're looking to score two goals. And that's something that's been beyond Arsenal quite regularly in recent weeks. Then you look at the way City defended against Arsenal in the EFL Cup final, you know, Wembley, you know, Arsenal created very little in that game. and then City clean sheets against Liverpool and Chelsea in their next two games. I think under 2.5 goals is the bet here. Arteta would love to have a draw given the way that Arsenal have been playing recently. I think it would be a great result. So I certainly don't expect him to go out all guns blazing there. You know, the reverse fixture in the league was a really cagey one. One all at the Emirates. Martinelli scored late on. I mean, we saw Pep Guardiola parking the bus for the last 20 minutes. I think that gives an insight into the rivalry between these clubs and between these managers. And yeah, I think it's going to be another really, really tight game on Sunday.
A lot has been made by some of the pundits, Dan, about Arsenal having to win one of these big title-deciding games in order to get over the line. But as Milt suggests there, you know, at the end of the day, you go, you claim a draw, you do your job and you get back off to the Emirates and build from there.
Yeah, there's a massive carrot if they do win, isn't there? Mm. If they win, you'd have to say then it's surely you're surely done if they win the game. But I'm going to go for City, even though the price odds on. If you look over the course of the season at the two teams taken over the whole season, you could argue odds on is too short for City, given how that Arsenal have been the more consistent team. But I'm looking at how the teams are playing right now. And you mentioned about Arsenal with injuries, but they had quite a few injuries actually in the early part of the season. They handled it really, really well and established a really strong position in those months. I think the difference is at this stage is pressure. Now you look at the performance against Bournemouth, watching that game. Bournemouth was superb, but I think Arsenal kind of made them look good. They were far too easy to play against Arsenal. They just didn't have that kind of zip and an intensity about their play. And for me, that's a real worry when you're now going into a game at City, and City have, after a slow start to that Chelsea game, they really kind of seized the initiative, didn't they, as the game went on. And ran out, you know, really strong winners. I just think that they're playing well at the right time. Had a nice free week. I know Arsenal had the boost of getting through to the Champions League semi-finals. And look, from Arsenal's point of view, they're odds on now to reach a Champions League final, and odds on still at the moment to win the Premier League. So it's hardly a bad situation to be in. But I just think right now, City are playing the better football, and I would take them at a shade of odds on to win this game.
These games often get built up way too much, but this is a huge game. 4:30 on Sunday, Manchester City against Arsenal, with, you'd say, with the title pretty much on the line. Of course, the battle for Champions League places is certainly up for grabs as well at the moment. And Saturday's 8:00 kickoff has a big impact on that, as Chelsea come up against Manchester United at Stamford Bridge. As far as the prices are concerned, Chelsea 6-5 to win this one. It's 11-5 Manchester United, and the draw is 5-2. And Dan, I think it's fair to say that these two teams don't come into it in the best of form. I thought Manchester United were certainly second best against Leeds on Monday. Chelsea, like you said before, pretty much put to the sword by City in the second half.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't really fancy either team to win this. So I'm gonna sit on the fence and go with a draw. I think you're totally right about United. I watched the game against Leeds, and they were outplayed really for large parts of that game. Even 11v11, Leeds really just you know were fairly comfortable, more comfortable probably than the final score suggested. Chelsea at the moment are just going for a really tough spell of results. I think the Champions League exit and the manner of it against PSG are kind of knocked the stuffing out of them. I think the City game, if they were going to have a response, sometimes in them home games against big teams, they turn it on, but you know, just collapse like a deck of cards in the second half. And I just wonder, you know, you've had a couple of players now, senior players, speak out against the way the club's being run. I just wonder how many of them players are really with the manager and how motivated they are to, you know, it's, as a club, they've been used to pushing for honours, Chelsea, and how motivated they're going to be to just try and get a fifth place finish over the line. Having said that, Man United, with the performance against Leeds and the issues at the back, Harry Maguire's ban's been extended. Martinez is suspended as well. You look like you're going to have Aidan Heaven possibly and Yoro at centre-back, unless he kind of puts Luke Shaw in there for a bit of experience, you know, playing a bit out of position. But that's far from ideal. So I wouldn't go as far as backing United, but I'll sit on the fence, go with a draw.
Yeah, it looks at this stage, Milts, with the pressure ramping up, that we could have two teams here who might be playing Champions League football next season, who might not have either of these managers in charge come August.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility, isn't it? Particularly as Andoni Iraola's announced that he's going to be available in the summer. So there'll be a few clubs trying to get him on board. I'm sitting on the fence, but slightly leaning towards Manchester United in this one. I completely agree with Charles' reservations about both of these teams. And United are going to have to reshuffle the defence. But I'm just looking at Chelsea's performances recently. You know, they lost five of their last six games. The only respite was that 7-0 FA Cup win against Port Vale. And even further back, since the start of February, they've won 4 out of 14. And three of those victories came against Hull and Vale in the Cup and bottom club Wolves in the league. So, you know, any time they've had a tougher game, they've struggled. And you know, as Charles mentioned, there's obviously things going on behind the scenes, as always at Chelsea. Enzo Fernandez, I think, may return for this game, but you know, that situation is clearly increased the pressure on Liam Rossignol as well. And I just think United, I think there will be a response after that defeat to Leeds, really poor performance. But you know, looking longer term, they've lost only two of their last 13 away league matches. I mean, that run includes wins at Liverpool and Arsenal and at Everton, who are in really good form. So I think Manchester United, draw no bet, shade of odds against is the way to go. More anti-Chelsea than pro-United.
Well, third game on the list this week is the Merseyside Derby clash on Sunday, a 2 p.m. kickoff for Everton against Liverpool at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. Everton here 21-10 to claim the victory. It's 5-4 Liverpool and 12-5 the draw. James, we'll start with you with this one. Liverpool put up a decent showing, I felt, against PSG in midweek and then ended up running 2-0, beaten, of course, by the defending Champions League victors, but no disgrace in that. But what was a major blow was the news on Hugo Ekitike, who now looks set to be missing for potentially 9 months. And although Alexander Isak is back in the fray, he doesn't look 100% fit at the moment. So some real attacking concerns for Arne Slot.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, really hard luck on Ekitike, who, you know, probably at the start of the season was wondering how much game time he'd get. Then obviously Isak's injury meant Ekitike had a huge role to play for Liverpool and you know, did pretty well and was looking forward to a crack at the World Cup with France. So that was a blow. You know, as you said, Isak's still well off the pace, I think, in terms of fitness. And you know, Mohamed Salah leaving as well. So I think there are serious issues for Liverpool. And yeah, you'd have to say the forces with Everton going into this game. You know, they're only 5 points behind Liverpool in the league, beat Chelsea 3-0 in their last home fixture, and just been really competitive over a long period of time now. I think also the timing of this game, I'm going for Everton to score the first goal at odds against. I think the timing of this game suits them. You know, Liverpool, as you said, had that a tough game in midweek, played pretty well at Anfield, but I mean, the damage was done, wasn't it, in Paris. They were really outclassed in that game. And yeah, Liverpool, as we've spoken all season long, problems away from home. You know, lost five of their last six away matches in all competitions, conceded the first goal in all five of those games. Admittedly, this isn't the longest trip that they'll be making this season, but I think it could be a really tough one. I think Everton are going to come flying out of the traps.
It was slightly further than it would be across Stanley Park normally to Goodison Park, but Hill Dickinson Stadium's first Merseyside derby. Dan, Everton would love nothing more than to crown that with a victory, although you have to say that David Moyes' men have probably looked better on the road than they have at home in recent times.
They have, but there's just been signs recently that they're starting to get more comfortable in that arena. The comfortable win against Burnley, brilliant performance then against Chelsea. We can argue about Chelsea being really poor on the night, but great performance from Everton. So two home wins in a row. And I think they're overpriced here. You can argue which way you go, Everton to win, or I think in a derby game, the draw is always a big runner. Neither team wants to lose. So I'll go with a draw no bet route for Everton at odds against. Free week for them. As James said, they're always ultra competitive, certainly lack the individual quality that Liverpool have got, but defensively they're stronger and better, and that's often where these kind of games are decided. Liverpool, I thought for an hour or so against PSG, were very good, played a lot of intensity, created some really good chances, could have turned that tie around. Actually, it wasn't as people that are just looking at the result, 4-0 aggregate, it was nowhere near as clear-cut as that. But the fact that they've lost, and you lose Ekotike on the night as well, so you've got kind of a mental and a physical impact, you know, to that result. And to then go into a Merseyside derby away off the back of it, far from ideal. So I'll go with Everton drawing a bet.
Yeah, it was a draw, of course, in the last Merseyside derby at Goodison Park as well. Well, we move on now to Saturday's tea time kickoff, and it's a huge one at the bottom end of the table. Tottenham play host to Brighton. Spurs 17-10 here to claim the victory. It's 7-5 Brighton and 11-4 the draw. Dan, Roberto De Zerbi's first game in charge last week ended in defeat at Sunderland. And of course, off the back of that as well, we hear that Christian Romero is going to miss the remainder of the season with injury, a huge setback. Could there be any positives to take out of that performance at Sunderland last week, or are we looking at a similar sort of scenario?
I think they were. It was a pretty low bar, wasn't it? You know, based off of the second half performance against Nottingham Forest, pretty low bar was set. So yeah, they were better than that. It was an even game really until Sunderland scored. You could argue that Sunderland had, you know, quite a bit of luck with the goal that they scored, but then you can also say that Conor Gallagher, you know, lets the player just run inside off of him and he has a free shot. So, you know, you kind of make your own luck, don't you? It's you need to, you know, be a bit more solid and defend these moments better. But probably the biggest positive for Spurs out of the day was Kinski's performance. Everyone was worried about him, including myself, before the game. He was arguably one of our better players. But the lack of confidence just was absolutely just glaringly obvious, especially after Spurs went 1-0 down. Never really looked like getting back into the game. And this game against Brighton are confident on a run of wins. I'm going to go for Brighton, draw no bet, a shade of odds on. I just think they're going to go into the game playing with that little bit of freedom. Also got lots to play for, pushing to get qualification for Europe. Little downside for Brighton is that Lewis Dunk's still suspended at the moment with his accumulation of yellow cards. He's he'd be quite a big miss for them at centre-back. But Spurs are going to be missing Romero in defence as well to add to their catalogue of injury problems that still exist. So, I just think it's a game, if Brighton score first, I can only see one result, the lack of confidence in the home form of Spurs this season. So, given that, Brighton, shade of odds on, draw no bet is the bet.
Yeah, as Dan says, James, it's big for Spurs, of course, but also big for Brighton, pushing for Europe. And let's just throw something else into the melting pot. De Zerbi against his former team as well.
Absolutely. And he takes them on as they're in their best spell of the season. You know, won five of their last six matches. The exception was that 1-0 home defeat to Arsenal in a really grim game that probably neither team deserved to win. I think there's plenty of juice in the odds about Brighton winning at Tottenham. You know, we spoke about Arsenal earlier and the atmosphere in their home fixtures kind of adding to the tension. And, you know, it's been the same story for Tottenham this season. You know, they've lost 10 of their 16 home matches in the league. Absolutely incredible stat. I think Brighton are well placed to take advantage of that tension. You know, looking back at the reverse fixture, Spurs needed a late own goal to draw 2-2 at the Amex Stadium in September. Back then, Spurs were thinking about Champions League qualification rather than possibly ending up in the Championship. It's been an incredible collapse, certainly since the turn of the year. And I don't think it's going to get any better for them against Brighton.
No, it looks like a tough day at the office ahead for Tottenham. And as far as the relegation battle is concerned, there's another big game to look ahead to now on Sunday, a 2:00 kickoff at the City Ground. Nottingham Forest, Burnley. Forest 2-1 on to claim the win here. Burnley 6-1 and the draw 16-5. We are, of course, recording this prior to Nottingham Forest European tie on Thursday evening. But Miltz, you look at this and Forest would have probably targeted this match to think this is where we could get a crucial 3 points.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, this Forest side, you look at those odds, kind of twos on, but they've not always done the job when they've been required to kind of, take the initiative in fixtures like this. You know, that 3-0 win at Tottenham was fantastic for them, really set up nicely against a Spurs side who were struggling at home. The pressure was all on their hosts. It's very different this time around. You know, as we say before, speaking before Forest's second leg against Porto, really interesting to see their team selection for the first leg, where I think Vitor Pereira made 9 changes with an eye on the weekend game against Villa. They got a draw there. You know, not a bad result, but you know, obviously West Ham and Leeds won. So that keeps the pressure on them. Just looking at Forest, just struggle for goals at the City Ground. I'm going for one or both teams not to score in this one. You know, I think Burnley should be outclassed, but it's just whether Forest take their chances. They've scored 7 times in their last 10 home games. This is before the second leg against Porto. 4 of those came against Ferencváros in the Europa League. So, you know, in the Premier League, they really, really struggled at home. So I don't expect them to turn on the style against Burnley. Could be a kind of 1-0 home win.
Dan, I think Tottenham in particular and the likes of West Ham as well will be hoping that Burnley go to the City Ground sort of free from concerns and just go and play their football and you know, cause Forest some problems. Can you see that happening, or can you see it just being a straightforward home win?
No, I hate being a fatalist as a Spurs supporter, but no, I think this is going to be a straightforward home win. I think Burnley, they've been uncompetitive for most of the season. I think they're getting more uncompetitive as time goes on. 3 of the last 4 away games, they've lost by multiple goals. I think Forest still, having the Porto game on Thursday is not, you know, ideal in terms of the Burnley game, but you know, they've got a pretty strong squad, been using it quite well from Europa games to Prem games. Going into the Porto game, we're speaking before then, they're actually 5 games unbeaten in all comps. You know, that's pretty good for a side towards the bottom of the league, and I just think that they're going to be really fired up for this to get the result, and I think they'll be comfortable winners. I think Burnley are. No, I don't see Burnley getting too many points between now and the end of the season. Worst defensive record in the league. Forest, for me, will win by a couple of goals. So I'm going to go Forest -1 on the Asian handicap at a shade of odds on. That means if they win by a single goal, you get your stakes returned. Anything more than a single goal, you win the money.
Okay, 5 down, 5 to go in this week's run-through of the Premier League action. Just before we get to the other half of the fixtures, a heads up that to make sure you look out for the April free bet offers, which are available for you on racingpost.com. Also, make sure you check out the Racing Post Recommends section, our bookmaker advice service that also provides betting strategies to follow. Well, West Ham moved themselves out of the relegation zone last week with that crucial, crushing win over Wolves at the London Stadium. They face a London derby on Monday evening as they make the journey to Selhurst Park for an 8 o'clock kickoff against Crystal Palace. Palace 6-5 here to claim the win. It's 23-10 West Ham and the draw 9-4. I just wonder, Dan, what that result against Wolves will do for the belief in the West Ham camp, especially, as I say, as it moves them out of the bottom three.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I think I can see West Ham going there and getting the win here. I just think this is the timing of this fixture is ideal for them. Palace, I know they're 3-0 up against Fiorentina, but they've still got to go to Italy on the Thursday, and it's still going to be their will be their main focus. Big chance to win a trophy, get elevated to the Europa League as well for next season. So I don't think they're going to be worrying about, we're talking before the Conference League match for Palace. Don't think they're going to be thinking at the moment about the weekend. They'll just cross that bridge when they come to it. Against Newcastle, they kind of rested a load of players, then brought the players off the bench and turned it around, didn't they? Got a couple of late goals to get the 2-1 win. I think against West Ham, if they make changes again and fall behind, West Ham are a team at the moment. They don't look like they're going to let anything go. When they were getting in that Wolves game you mentioned, Warren, that they started kind of slow. Then once they got the first goal, they ran away with it. So I think if they get the first goal here at Palace, which I expect them to do, I think they'll go on to win. I think that, 23-10, you said, that's a big enough price for me, West Ham to win.
Yeah, Mills, Jarrod Bowen was the talk, a little bit of some people off the back of those England friendlies recently, suggesting that he didn't do himself any favours in terms of his performances and get into the World Cup. But I tell you what, since then, he's been absolutely outstanding, and he's playing a huge role in dragging West Ham out of that bottom three.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, he's clearly a really quality player, isn't he? I think it's very difficult for players to stand out, particularly in friendly internationals. You know, everything's a bit disjointed, isn't it? But yeah, getting back to the serious business of the Premier League relegation battle has really seems to have inspired him. I like the look of both teams to score in this one. Certainly take what Dan says on board about Palace. You know, the motivation is clearly with West Ham in this one. But, you know, a couple of great results for Palace last week, beating Fiorentina 3-0, then coming from behind to beat Newcastle 2-1. Just looking at West Ham's games against the teams around them, they've been really high scoring, actually. 10 of the 11 games they've played against the rest of the bottom eight have had over 2.5 goals. That includes a 2-1 home defeat to Palace in the reverse fixture. And obviously we saw their attacking quality against Wolves last time out. So I think this could be quite an open game.
Okay, up next, it's to Villa Park for a 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Aston Villa against Sunderland. Villa here 4-6, Sunderland 9-2, and the draw 11-4. There was a train of thought, Milt, a couple of weeks ago that the season was petering out for these two teams, but certainly in Villa's case, a couple of decent results recently have got them right in that push for a top five finish.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's no coincidence that when kind of important players like Tielemans and McGinn come back, that then Villa's form improved. And you know, with Sunderland as well, yeah, you've thought that their race was run a bit. They've managed to grind out results. I think that certainly the underlying stats suggest they've been a bit fortunate. 1-0 at Leeds, then the derby win at Newcastle, who they just always seem to beat for some reason. And then, as we mentioned earlier, the home win against Tottenham. So I'm looking at the match odds, and, you know, particularly after Villa are in Europa League action, I'm struggling to pick out a bet from there. So I'm going to go for John McGinn to have one or more shots on target, around 5-4. Looked in really good nick since returning from injury. Scored three times in his last six Premier League starts. Scored against Lille in the Europa League last month as well. And had a shot on target in the 1-1 draw at Forest last weekend.
Yeah, just reiterating that we're recording this prior to Aston Villa's Europa League action on Thursday. But Dan, as Milts has alluded to there, you know, the return of key players for Villa at this stage of the season has been massive for Unai Emery.
Absolutely. And I spoke shortly a little while ago about Palace not really having an eye on the weekend. I think Villa will have a massive eye on the weekend. I know they're going to be... They've been committed to the Europa League from the start and they're going to be doing their best to win that competition. But also, I think the way they finished last season, when they looked absolute certainties to get into the Champions League and then kind of fell short right at the end, I think that's going to be right really on their minds. They're going to be ultra determined to see it through this time and get into the Champions League, which is a massive deal for Aston Villa as a club. Financially, they've had their issues over the you know, recent transfer windows. I just think motivation-wise, having them key players back, performances have been improving, as James was saying. Sunderland were kind of functional against Spurs. They're still, you know, organised and they're putting in the effort. I just think quality-wise, they've not got the players that Villa have got. And some of Villa's key players are like Ollie Watkins now, finding a bit of form, trying to get in that World Cup squad. They've got the players, for me, better players than Sunderland. Offensively, they're at home, loads riding on it for them. 4-6, I think that's reasonable enough. I'll go for Villa to win.
Okay, three more games left to go in the Premier League, and we head to Elland Road next for Saturday's 3 o'clock kickoff between Leeds and Wolves. The host 3-5 here to claim the win. It's 19-4 Wolves, and the draw 29-10. Huge win for Leeds at Old Trafford last time out. I know that speaking to a few Leeds fans, they always had in the back of their mind that they've got Wolves and Burnley still to play at home in order to try and get them away from the bottom three. This is one of those fixtures, Dan. I think the only concern maybe as a Leeds fan going into this would be, have they maybe got one eye on next week's FA Cup semi-final, or are they just going to, you know, go through what would probably be a Wolves team that now look like they are heading for the Championship?
I think the fact that they've got that FA Cup semi-final, if anything, it's added motivation just to get a little bit more clear of that bottom end before you're going into it, so you can kind of focus a little bit more on that semi-final, not have that so much of a worry. They would still be mathematically involved in it, but they would have less of a worry in the back of their minds going into that game. I think this is going to be a really big week for Leeds. They were superb against Manchester United. Not just the quality of their football, on the ball. I just thought the way they handled the game, they're not nervous at all in the situation they're in. They just took on the ball, just popped it around and ran out comfortable winners against the team. Let's not forget Manchester United, since Carrick's gone in, have been outstanding. I know they had a few issues with player Kobbie Mainoo not playing, and you know that would have helped Leeds, but Leeds was superb. Wolves, on the other hand, after better performances recently, after they conceded against West Ham, they just collapsed. Whenever I watch Wolves, they're really lacking offensively. They just never look like they're going to take the chances that they create. And I just think that after off the back of that result, I'm not sure they're going to finish the season very well. Leeds, it's a great fixture for them to have. I think they'll win comfortably just to try and boost the price up a little bit. Going to go with Leeds and under 4.5 goals. That's a shade of odds on.
Mills, we have to give credit to Daniel Farke, because midway through the season, I think you've spoken to the majority of Leeds fans, they'd have said there was no way that he would last the season. But the way he's managed to turn things around, and as I say, you've got a semi-final to look forward to next weekend as well. It's been really impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, that result at Old Trafford was a massive boost for them. You know, we've spoken over the winter, they've been playing really well and not winning games. And you know, you kind of look at the lead up to that game at Manchester United. They hadn't scored in their previous four league matches, so you know the pressure was on. And they delivered. I do think this is going to be another tense one for them. You know, we mentioned they've got the FA Cup semi final against Chelsea, which is actually looking like a pretty winnable game the way Chelsea are playing. But you know, the focus has to be on this game. And I just think, you know, if you look beyond the one match form where, you know, Leeds won it at Old Trafford and Wolves really disappointing at West Ham. But, you know, before then, I think Wolves had been pretty competitive on a regular basis and Leeds short of goals. So I think Rob Edwards will get a response. You know, Wolves don't have anything tangible to play for. But you know, he's clearly instilled some steel into them up until that defeat at West Ham. So I'm looking at the 1-0 Leeds victory in this one. Maybe Leeds to win 2-0 as well. You just look at Wolves, as Dan mentioned, the lack of quality going forward, particularly away from home. They're winless, scored 7 times in 16 games. So, yeah, you'd expect Leeds to grind it out here.
James just mentioned there a lack of quality going forward. You could maybe argue that that sums up our next team in focus, who are Newcastle, who entertain Bournemouth at St James's Park at 3 o'clock on Saturday. The Magpies 10-11 here to claim the 3 points, 11-4 Bournemouth and 14-5 the draw. Newcastle are a funny old team to work out, Milts, at the moment. And Bournemouth come into this, obviously, absolutely full of confidence off the back of that win over Arsenal last week. But I just wonder how much of an impact the news that Iraola is going to be leaving at the end of the season might have here.
Yeah, it's a real blow for Bournemouth, because he's done a stunning job. And you know, he's obviously, the future looks very, very bright for him on a personal level. I think the way Bournemouth have gone about their business, both recruiting managers and players, I think their fans have to have confidence that you know, they're going to make the right call to replace Iraola. And I think Bournemouth are a cracking bet to win at St James's Park, actually. Now, you're talking about you know, Tottenham being shocking to see them in the relegation zone. But you know, Newcastle, when you look at their pre-season expectations, they were fifth in the title betting, only 7-4 to make the top four. You know, I think that goes some way to explain why there is real pressure on Eddie Howe now. You know, yeah, they got hammered by Barcelona in the Champions League. You can make excuses for that. But then to lose at home to Sunderland and then away at Palace, where they were leading until the last 10 minutes, really, really disappointing results. And yeah, I think Bournemouth, you know, despite the Iraola news this week, I think, you know, buoyed by that really impressive win at Arsenal last weekend, I think they're a great price to win at Newcastle.
I happen to think that Eddie Howe should be given next season to try and turn things around. But Dan, as James has just said there, you know, the pressure continues to mount week after week. Do you think he'll be there next season?
Not sure he will be. They're kind of club putting out noises that they're going to look at things in the summer, aren't they? I mean, who knows? I mean, Iraola even could be one of the names that you know, they look at as a potential replacement. I think their issues go beyond the manager, though. I think if you look at these two clubs, Bournemouth have out-recruited Newcastle, really. Bournemouth everyone talked about the Isak situation with Newcastle, but ultimately they've kind of had a long time having a very good idea who's going to go, and the players have brought in. Valtomada sort of had an okay start and he's tailed off. This has had a really poor season. You know, lots of money spent on those, and you look at Bournemouth and when they, you know, lost a lot of key defenders at the start of the season, brought in great replacements. Truffaut at left back's been superb a lot of the season. Then in January they lose Semenyo, bring in Rayan, and if anything they look an even stronger team since Semenyo's gone. So they're recruiting for Bournemouth is fantastic, an unbelievable run. I mean, people could look at the last week and say Arsenal were off it, but Bournemouth were absolutely superb. The way they played with such confidence and took the game to Arsenal, deservedly won the game. Unbeaten in 13 now, just the price, 5-2 Bournemouth to win the game. Just looks way too big for me, Bournemouth to win.
Okay, we're going to conclude the Premier League roundup with the first game of the weekend in the top flight, a 12:30 lunchtime kickoff at the GTEC Community Stadium for Brentford Fulham. The Bees here 11-10, Fulham 9-4, and the draw 11-4. I'd suggest these are two very evenly matched teams, Dan.
Very evenly matched. Brentford got a bit of a drawing habit, haven't they? They didn't draw many earlier in the season, but four draws in a row now. They were playing a similar game last week against Everton, where it was another team sort of pushing for them European qualification places. So you think there's going to be high motivation to win these games and get in there, but you're playing another team, you know, Fulham, who are looking to do the same. So it's you know, there's not a lot between these teams over the course of the season. 3 points between the sides. Fulham at Liverpool lost the game but created quite a few chances, just were a bit wasteful where they're finishing. They're not so great away from home, but to cut a long story short, I think it'll be an even game. In that case, I'll go with a draw.
Fine with these early kickoffs, James, that it can either be a bit of a damp squib or we might get a huge amount of entertainment. Which way do you think it might go this time?
Yeah, I mean, the last three meetings between these sides have been entertaining, and Fulham have won and both teams have scored in all three of them. But I think probably looking at the form Fulham come into this game in, I'm edging towards Brentford to win 2-0 at around 3-1. You know, as Dan mentioned, all those draws are kind of hampering Brentford's push for Europe. But you know, if you told their fans at the start of this season that would be the issue, I think they'd have happily taken that. Just looking at Fulham, failed to score in four of their last five games. That includes an FA Cup defeat at home to Southampton. And I think Brentford should be a bit more ruthless than they've been in recent weeks. You know, they blew a 2-0 lead against Wolves to draw and conceded later on against Everton last weekend. But so a bit more ruthlessness, and I think they could pick up the points.
OK, well, that's the Premier League covered then for another week. Up next here on The Assist, it's your FPL update, and then we'll take a look at all things EFL. But it's Fantasy Premier League time now, and Tom Hill once again joins us to give us his tips on who to select in your FPL team this week.
Game Week 33 offers tons of potential for managers, with many preparing their teams for the biggest double game week remaining of the season. Bournemouth, Brighton, Burnley, Chelsea, Leeds and Manchester City all play twice this week, and then blank in game week 34. Quite a few managers will have used a chip in preparation or are planning to play one this week, so let's take a look at the best three outfield options for the week ahead. Bournemouth's Marcos Senesi is a great option ahead of games against Newcastle and Leeds this week. He's available for £5.2 million and has the potential to pick up at least one clean sheet. Newcastle are out of form, while Leeds' away form is not as strong as their successes at Elland Road. Senesi has recorded 364 defensive contributions this season. That's the highest in the Premier League. He's also recorded 4 assists, so he gives managers a route to points at both ends of the pitch. In midfield, there are plenty of valuable options. The £8.2 million asset Antoine Semenyo gets the nod due to his expected minutes. He's expected to play 90 in both games against Arsenal and Burnley, and he did well against the Claretts while playing for Bournemouth this season. He scored 10 points in game week 17 against the Claretts and should give managers every chance to pick up double figures once again. Up front, it's a little template and, of course, to some boring, but Erling Haaland is simply the best striker option for the teams that play twice. He'll set you back £14.4 million. He is without a league goal in five, but with so many league rivals set to start him, it's a dangerous game to try, get clever and pick an alternative. Arsenal look vulnerable in City's first game, while Burnley have conceded the most goals in the division and have the worst XG conceded. He's predicted across all players to score the most points this week and remains the standout captaincy option for game week 33.
Well, a big thanks to Tom Hill. We're going to move from the FPL now to the EFL, and we're going to focus firstly on the Championship because it looks like being another epic end to the season in the second tier, particularly in the battle for promotion. Coventry on the brink of sealing their place in the Premier League, but behind them, there's a real scramble for that second automatic spot. Middlesbrough have now not won any of their last six games, having been in pole position to take that second spot. Kim Hillberg described Sunday's clash with Ipswich this weekend as a must-win now. I remember, Dan, seeing Middlesbrough on TV probably about a month ago now, absolutely hammer QPR at Loftus Road and look impressive. And since then, it almost feels like the wheels have come off.
Absolutely. But if you actually look at the highlights and the stats of their games, they are still hammering teams, but just not on the scoreline. They're just not taking the chances. Another case last week against Portsmouth. I've not got the exact stats, but I think Portsmouth had about three shots. Middlesbrough around 20 again, and they lose the game late on. Now, Kim Hellberg did say that was actually a drop-off, amazingly, considering them stats in performance to what they've been doing recently. But I think they'll get a bit of a boost, you know, from Ipswich losing at Portsmouth in the week. That's opened it up for a load of the clubs there. I wouldn't rule out Middlesbrough going and picking some kind of result up this weekend. Ipswich under pressure. Still got to go to Southampton, who are in the mix as well. Got to go to West Brom, who are playing better now in their battles against the drop. So lots to play for in that race for the second place.
Yeah, just to highlight how the table looks at the moment. Ipswich in that second place with 75 points, having played 41 games. The three chasing teams behind them have all played 42, but Millwall have got 73 points and both Southampton and Middlesbrough 72. Southampton on a real run at the moment. Another win for them in midweek to give them a real hope of securing a return back to the Premier League. Time now to get Dan's best bets across the EFL for this weekend. And we'll start in the Championship. Dan, who are we looking at here?
I'm going to go with Norwich to win away to Bristol City. Battle between sort of upper mid-table teams, highly unlikely unless a real unbelievable sequence of results that either of these are going to get their force their way into the top six. But from Norwich's point of view, to be ninth where they are, considering that, you know, the position they were in when Philippe Clement came in, is a great effort. And I think Clement is up there for one of the managers of the season in the Championship, even though he's not been in there for the whole season. He's come into a club, you know, in massive relegation trouble. And since then, they haven't lost back-to-back games. I mean, that is an unbelievable consistency from them. They did lose last week against Ipswich. I thought they were on the wrong end of a real harsh penalty decision early in the game that gave Ipswich a boost and cost them. But they competed pretty well over the course of that game, as they have been doing consistently for months. And they're playing a Bristol City team that have got 7 points from three games under Roy Hodgson, gone in there and steadied the ship. But a lot of them games for Bristol City, they've been kind of backs to the wall, nicking them. They beat Sheffield United 1-0 last weekend, but Sheffield United on the stats battered them by the looks of it. So I think both teams are similar price here. I would take Norwich to get the win.
Okay, so Norwich is Dan's Championship tip against Bristol City this weekend. We'll move into League One now here. And Dan, who are we looking at?
I'm going to go with Plymouth, playoff chasing Plymouth to win away to relegation threatened AFC Wimbledon. Plymouth 4 points off the playoffs at the moment. But they're another team that are in kind of relegation trouble and have pushed their way up to get into the playoff reckoning. Last away game, got a 3-0 win away to Barnsley. Last weekend, they had a bit of a dip in performance, 2-2 draw at home to Exeter in the Devon Derby. But I just think they're going to push and come again in these last three games. Tom Cleverley's Plymouth, they're used to winning games. And what a great fixture for them to have against AFC Wimbledon. They've took 1 point from the last seven games. They're not over the line in the race for survival, Wimbledon. Tons of injuries, especially at the back. Patrick Bauer did come back for them in the midweek 2-0 loss at home to Stockport for AFC Wimbledon, but still got lots of injuries, especially in defence. I think Plymouth will take advantage. Plymouth to win, a shade of odds on.
And Plymouth just 4 points outside the playoff places as things stand at the moment. And the League Two tip down, I think, is looking at another team who are looking for promotion.
Yeah, MK Dons, second in League Two, away to Crewe, are still pushing very much an outside chance now to get into the playoffs. MK Dons, shade of odds against when I looked at these prices. I think that's perfectly reasonable. They had a bit of a wobble sort of over the Easter period, but now they're looking good. Got a good 1-1 draw at Oldham, who have been on a great run. Then they followed that up by beating Bromley, the leaders, 2-1 at home. I just think that away from home, good, strong away record, 37 points on their travels. And then playing a Crewe side, I think they're going to be maybe feeling a bit sorry for themselves after losing what was a massive game for them, 3-2 away to Grimsby last weekend. Both teams were pushing to get into that top seven, and it was probably not as close as the score suggests. It was 3-0 to Grimsby. Crewe scored with a couple of really late goals. So I think that's not stuffing out of them. MK should go to Gresty Road and get the win.
Okay, just a reminder then of Dan's best bets across the EFL this weekend. Norwich in the Championship, Plymouth in League One, and MK Dons in League Two. Time to move on back to the Premier League now. We like to give you a bet builder, of course, for one of the big games of the weekend. And James, I think you've selected the Merseyside Derby to look at.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, first leg of the bet builder, Everton or draw, double chance. You know, we've mentioned earlier in the show, Everton have done most of their best work away from home this season. The last two home results, 2-0 against Burnley, and then that excellent 3-0 win against Chelsea. And I think this looks to be a good time to be playing Liverpool, attacking injuries, obviously knocked out of the Champions League and suffered that 4-0 defeat in the FA Cup at Manchester City. So I think Everton, really competitive side, can avoid defeat in the derby. Second leg is Dwight McNeil to have two or more shots. Bit of a forgotten man for Everton in the first half of the season. I was just lucky. Didn't actually make his first league start until December the 20th. But he's really stepped up since the turn of the year, hit the post in that defeat at Arsenal recently. He's had 12 shots in his last five league starts. I think he could produce another really lively performance at the weekend. And the final leg is Idrissa Gueye to have one or more shots. The veteran, having a terrific campaign for Everton, had 11 shots in his last six Premier League home games. And Everton fans will remember that he actually scored in the reverse fixture, September's defeat at Anfield, had three shots in that game. I think he could get forward to good effect again this weekend.
Yeah, interesting one with Dwight McNeil, who was on the brink of leaving Everton in January's transfer window, but may well have turned his career around at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. So that is Miltz's bet builder to follow for the Merseyside Derby this weekend. Time now for the assist treble when we each make a selection. And Dan, we'll start with your pick first.
I'm going to go with Leeds to beat Wolves. They've been on a really good run, actually, for a while. Quite a few draws, but they've only had four Premier League defeats since the end of November. That is some going for a newly promoted team. Earlier in the season, when Leeds weren't playing as well, they still went to Wolves and won 3-1. I know Wolves have stabilised a bit more since then, but Leeds have certainly improved massively, and I think they'll complete the double over them.
OK, it's Leeds in the Premier League for Dan. I think you're going into the Championship, James, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm keeping things simple, staying on board the Southampton bandwagon. Southampton to win at Swansea. They beat Blackburn 3-0 on Tuesday at home. That was their 11th win in 13 league games. Just 3 points off the automatic promotion spots now. Yeah, they also knocked Fulham and Arsenal out of the FA Cup, absolutely flying. Their last two away games in the league, they won at Coventry, obviously, on the brink of promotion, and won 5-1 at Wrexham, who are in the playoff hunt as well. Swansea, mid-table, not a great deal to play for, and they've really struggled against the stronger teams this season. So I can't see them stopping Southampton's surge up the table.
I'm going with another team on a roll, but dipping into League Two, and I'm going with Bristol Rovers to win at Tranmere at around about 7-5. Now, Rovers are sat in mid-table and in theory don't have much to play for, but it does look like their squad are determined to finish the season strongly and to be part of Steve Evans' plans for next term, when you'd think that Rovers would be eyeing a possible promotion push. They've won the last six matches in a row and they've lost just one of the last five on the road, and that came against leaders Bromley by a single goal to nil. Tranmere, meanwhile, are without a win in 11 and they're now in real danger of going down. Just 1 point outside of the bottom two as things stand, and Rovers have won just once at Prenton Park since the turn of the year. So Bristol Rovers are my selection, and the treble overall, Bristol Rovers, Leeds and Southampton. And we'll conclude this week's show with the naps from James and Dan. And Dan, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, I think MK Dons to win at Crewe is a real solid bet. MK Dons just looking to get over the line now in the race for automatic promotion. May even have a shot still of hauling in Bromley in the title race. And I think they'll be too strong for Crewe. Look like they're going to fall short of the top seven, been too inconsistent in the second half of the season.
And James, I think you're going continental this week for your nap.
Yeah, going for Borussia Dortmund to win away at Hoffenheim. Dortmund didn't have a shot on target last weekend and a 1-0 home defeat to Bayer Leverkusen. I'm prepared to forgive them that result. It was only their third defeat of the season and the other two were against Bayern Munich. So they've been incredibly consistent. And Hoffenheim really on the slide now, won one of their last seven in the Bundesliga. They were thrashed 5-0 by RB Leipzig last month. And had some really poor results at home recently as well. Lost to St. Pauli, who are in the relegation zone, and drew with Wolfsburg, who are also really struggling. So I think Borussia Dortmund should bounce back from a rare defeat last weekend.
Well, a big thanks to both Dan and James for their input on this week's assist. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. The assist will be back at the same time next Thursday, and it'll include a look ahead to the FA Cup semi-finals at Wembley, as well as the Premier League action next weekend. In the meantime, enjoy your football across this weekend. And as always, please remember to gamble responsibly.